the book of beginnings. Genesis means beginnings. Hallelujah. Whew. I have a word here. Now, sit back, relax. I'm telling you right now. Just going to say it. I have a 10-pager for you. Oh, but man, it's revelation. This message will change your life. I hope they all do. But there's something on this message, as you'll see, that's going to bring some clarity, that's going to bring some understanding in your walk with God on this earth. Amen? Genesis 1, verse 26, starting off. It said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." Who's us? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Trinity. "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food," and it was so. Verse 31. "Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So on the sixth evening, and the morning were the sixth day." Now go with me to John 10. John chapter 10 in the New Testament. And I'm going to look at just one verse, very popular one. But the Holy Ghost, man, he just took off right from this verse with me this week. John 10:10. And it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." So today I want to talk about this topic. Are you ready? I want to talk about living an abundant life on this earth. Living an abundant life on this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ has made it abundantly clear that he came to this earth to live, to minister, to die on the cross, and to be resurrected from the dead for us as Christians to have an abundant life. That was the purpose. That was his purpose of coming to earth. He said, "I want to give them abundant life." Amen? And every person that puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ has that opportunity. There's not one person that does not have that opportunity. And so when God created us, he created us in his own image. Are you ready for this? He created us in his image, here it goes, to be blessed. We were created to be blessed. Amen? Now I want you to meditate on this fact. God created us with some of the same characteristic as him. This is mind-blowing when you really stop and think about this. He has given us a free will. He has given us the ability to think, to imagine, to speak, to act, to create. Hello, somebody. Amen? To have creativity. We have emotions like him. I mean, it's absolutely mind-blowing. We were created in the image of Almighty God. Amen? We're not just trash. We're not just something that God said when God was walking a beach or something, said, I'm going to make a little sandcastle. I'm going to take a little dirt and make these dingy humans too. Hello. Amen. See, we were created to be blessed. Get that in your thought life. Get that in your mind. Get that in your conscious mind. Get that in your subconscious mind. Say it with me. I was created to be blessed. And then the fall happened with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And guess what? That still did not change God's mind to bless you. Oh my goodness. That did not change God's purpose. That did not change God's intention for mankind. Jesus came to this earth with the intention, with the purpose to take away everything that the curse brought into this earth. Amen. Now, the Bible does say there's one more enemy. Say one more. You want to know what that is? Physical death. Are you following me? There's one more enemy. But you could say it this way. Jesus came to restore, I like this. Jesus came to restore the Garden of Eden experience for us. What is that Garden of Eden experience I'm talking about? He came to restore that closeness, that intimacy with God, and for us to have a heart-to-heart and a spirit-to-spirit connection with our Creator. That's the Garden of Eden experience, having that closeness. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Come on, somebody. Amen? And in John 10:10, Jesus said, that he came to this earth that we might have life and that we may have it more abundantly. All right? Now, many Christians read that verse in their mind immediately because, you know, you're kind of in this, you get in the flow of this world and what you see in the natural. Many Christians hear that verse about an abundant life and they only start thinking about material abundance. The only thing they can relate with a lot of times is things in the natural realm. Why? Because we're too addicted to the natural realm. Amen. But I believe God, now listen to this. Now you got to hear this. I do believe that God wants his people to experience an abundance on this earth in all things rather than, come on, poverty. Amen. God, if God created us to be blessed, he doesn't want you living in lack. He doesn't want you living in poverty. Amen? But I want to show you two verses right now we need a balance, okay? So we need to root out the fleshly mindset here, okay? But God still wants us blessed. He still wants us to have in abundance. Amen? Here we go. Matthew chapter 6. Go with me there. I'm kind of setting this up here. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 24 through 25. And Jesus said it this way. He said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is talking about money. Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Say life. And what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Here's the key, underline it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now go with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. One verse. And Jesus drives home this point even more. He said this. He said, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness or greed. Say greed. For here it is, underline it. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So you can see that Jesus totally takes a whip to the worldly mindset. Amen? But it's not wrong to have stuff. You'll see where I'm going here in a minute here. Jesus makes it very clear in these two passages that our life on this earth is not defined and it's not ruled a success or a failure based on your bank account or based on the material goods that you have. Oh, come on, somebody. Let me say it one more time. Jesus makes it very clear in these two passages that your life is not defined or ruled a success or a failure, either way, based on how much money you have and how many material goods that you have, all right? See, here's what you got to understand. You can possess a lot of earthly stuff and still be a failure. Hello, somebody. You can have the biggest bank account. You can have a lot of stuff and still fail miserably. On the other hand, you can have less stuff than a very wealthy person and be an absolute success in this life. Now, I do have to say this again, that God is not opposed to his people having money or stuff. All right? It's not a sin to possess earthly stuff. Amen? It's not a sin to be wealthy, all right? But it is not, here's what he's trying to say here, that it's not a badge of approval or favor from God. Because, here's why, how can I say that? Because the unsaved wealthy people have all that stuff too. So then, we know then, if the unsaved can have all the wealth and all the earthly stuff, then there must be something different then that Jesus offers than an unsaved, someone that's not in covenant with God, can possess. Are you following me so far? It's something the unsaved and the world do not have access to. All right? Oh, come on, this will shift your mindset. You got to get this. This leads us to the next question. What then is the abundant life that Jesus is talking about in John 10:10, right? It leads to that obvious question. If he said it has nothing to do with your money, has nothing to do with your material goods, then what's he talking about? Listen to this. Here's what it is. It was what Adam and Eve lost, like I said, in the Garden of Eden. Are you ready for this? It's one word. They lost righteousness. Come on, somebody. They lost the righteousness which produces intimacy with our Heavenly Father. That's what the world cannot have. That's what an unsaved person who's not in covenant with God through Jesus Christ, they can't have that. Amen? So the abundant life that Jesus is referring to in John 10:10 is that heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit connection and fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Now, it's going to go beyond that. Follow me here. The Greek word that's translated life in John 10:10, all right, is the word zoe. Say zoe. Okay, that's the Greek word that's translated life, all right, in both spiritual and physical life. Zoe is referred to as the God kind of life. Say God kind of life. All right, listen to this. Here's in one commentary, it said this. In the New Testament, Zoe life, refers to life in its fullest sense, encompassing both the physical and the spiritual dimensions. It is often used to describe the eternal life that's granted through faith in Jesus Christ. This life is not merely an unending existence, but here it is, ready? A quality of life that is abundant and fulfilling, characterized, and it sums it up right here, by a relationship with God, your Creator. Now, I know what some of you are saying, oh, I thought it was money, I thought it was stuff. Hold on, I'm not done yet. Say, he ain't done yet. So when Adam and Eve sinned, spiritual death and the curse entered the earth. What is spiritual death? Spiritual death is when you don't have a connection with your Creator God. That's spiritual death. Spiritual life then would be the opposite. You have that connection with him. Amen? So here's what it is. To have that connection with your Creator restored, to be able for that to be restored, oh, you got to get this. Don't let it pass you by. Righteousness is required. Say righteousness. And that righteousness or right standing with God was lost when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. So again, righteousness is being in right standing with God. So the Word of God Here's the good news. The Word of God refers to Jesus as the second Adam. Say second Adam. The second Adam that came in to restore that righteousness with mankind. That righteousness to restore that intimacy, that fellowship, that connection with God our Creator. To all that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, here's what you got to understand. Jesus became sin on the cross. I didn't say he sinned. I said he became sin. There's a difference. Because if Jesus did one sin, we would not be made righteous by putting our faith in him. Thank God for the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So Jesus became sin. In other words, God the Father, he took all the sins that would ever happen in the past, that happened in Jesus when he was on this earth, when Jesus walked this earth, and anybody in the future, God took all of those sins, and while Jesus was on the cross, put it upon him. Are you getting it? I know, this is basic stuff, but we got to go back to the basics sometimes. Amen? So he took all the sins of mankind so that when the person puts their faith in Jesus, it's what happens is what we call, listen to me, the divine exchange. Hello, somebody. So say divine exchange. So when you put your faith in what Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus, you gave him your sin, he gives you his righteousness. Oh, come on, this is rich. That's shouting material, really. Amen? All right, and that is the very thing that's required by our Heavenly Father to have that connection restored. That's why the Word of God says in Colossians 3:3, it says this, oh, get this, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The moment you put your faith in Christ, guess what? Your life is hidden in Christ. Come on, somebody. So do you want to know what that means in a nutshell? Come on. It means that when you abide in Christ, when you put your faith in him, amen? When you abide in him, it means when your Heavenly Father looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees his Son, Jesus. If you will get a revelation of that, I guarantee you will walk in miracles, signs, and wonders like never before. Oh, come on. Because if you don't believe you're righteous, if you believe there's always that hindrance, it's going to be a hindrance to your faith. Amen? So one of the first, if you need a healing, if you need something, one of the first things I'd tell you to study is your righteousness in Christ. Something that you did not earn. Amen? So now listen to me. So we have been made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ and by his shed blood. But holiness means this, that we think, say, and do based on that righteous position. Amen? Amen. We're not trying to get God's favor. We have it. Are you understanding me? We have it because of what Jesus did. But the Word of God says to abide what? In Christ. Stay in him. And that means we think, say, and do based on that righteous position, okay? So that's why the Word of God commands us. It says, be holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen? God's telling us. So what God's trying to say is, don't wander outside of Jesus. Don't wander. Who is Jesus? He's the Word of God, right? John 1:1. Be obedient to the Word of God. Stay and remain in Christ. Amen? So we have been made righteous. The spiritual sin nature, when you got born again, that spiritual sin nature has been taken away in our spirit man. Nothing's been done with your soul. Nothing's been done, unfortunately, with our physical body. But it was a spiritual thing that happened on the inside of you. Amen? We have been made righteous. That spiritual sin nature, say sin nature, it's been taken away from our spirit man. That's why you're no longer called a sinner. You're called a saint. Because your nature is no longer to sin. I didn't say you wouldn't sin, but that's not your nature. You're not bent towards sin anymore. Are you getting it? So if you're calling yourself a sinner, guess what you're going to do? Yep. You're going to fulfill your own prophecy. You're going to sin. That's your identity. Well, right? Isn't that what all the backsliders say? Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, that's what they're going to continue to do then, because that's what they root their identity in. No, your identity needs to be rooted in righteousness in Christ. You start seeing yourself righteous, you're going to walk that way. That's when you're going to be holy, because he is holy. Amen? So, see, because of that righteous standing, all right, that is why nothing is impossible for a Christian. We can overcome anything based on these two things. Say two things. Here we go. These are the two things. We have been made righteous, number one, and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us after we get born again. Oh, come on. We possess the Zoe kind of life because we've been born again. We've been made righteous, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. All right? Now, if you find it hard to overcome sin in your life, you have bondage in your life, here's what happened. You ready for this? Very simple. What happened? Let me save you thousands of dollars from going to a shrink. Can I do that? Okay? Here's what happened. If you find it hard to overcome a bondage or a sin, here's the deal. You have lost an awareness and consciousness in your thought life of two things: your righteous standing with God and the Holy Spirit that lives in you to help you live a holy life. You're trying, now you have a mindset of flesh. You're trying to do it on your own, right? And of course, you're not going to get very far. Amen? So you simply need to shift your mindset, your awareness, your consciousness of what you're thinking, back to the fact that Jesus has given you two amazing gifts: righteousness and the Holy Ghost, baby. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, here's the deal. Not the Holy Spirit baptism, because the Holy Spirit baptism is received separately after you get born again. Amen. Here's the deal. Oh, the Holy Spirit showed me something powerful, just the wording of it. Are you ready for this? When you got born again, the Holy Spirit's given to you. Say given. But for the Holy Spirit baptism experience, it must be desired, asked for, and received. Do you see the difference? When you got born again, you didn't even have to know anything about the Holy Ghost. He just came in. But now the Holy Spirit baptism, it needs to be an experience you know about, it needs to be desired, it needs to be asked for, and it needs to be received. One is given, the second one received. Are you following me? That's why a believer, anybody can be a believer, right? But remember, I talk about a believer and a disciple. There's a difference. The believer, yeah, you're born again. You didn't have to, you just put your faith in Christ, boom, Holy Ghost comes in, that spiritual sin nature is taken away. But if you want to go to the next level of the Holy Ghost baptism, the power of the Holy Ghost, a disciple, you need to know some things. It needs to be received now. Oh, come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit baptism is something you have to be received. You're not just going to trip over it. I think some Christians think they're just going to trip over the blessings of God. No. It needs to be received. Just like all the blessings that Jesus has provided for, and their provision. Say provision. You got to take hold of the provision. Amen? So, we have been given the gift of righteousness. I don't want you to downplay that ever. In fact, I need you to meditate on that. When you leave this service all week, that's your homework. I want you to meditate on how faith in Jesus has made you righteous. I want you to think about this, that every time God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees his son Jesus, the perfect life that Jesus lived on this earth. And then in 1 John it says, hey, I get it. You know, you're probably going to mess up here and there. And then it says, confess and forsake your sin. Now, the interesting thing about this, and I said it before, isn't it interesting? You come to Christ, you're forgiven of all the past sins. And it says, once you become a Christian, if you sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, to confess that sin and put it under the blood of Jesus. In fact, so we are expected, come on somebody, we are expected to live such a disciplined life that we know when we sin, that you confess that one sin under. Are you following me? Oh, this is good stuff. This is solid. This is solid Bible foundation stuff. Amen? So here's what you need to understand about the abundant life that Jesus is talking about in John 10:10. Your abundant life on this earth stands on two pillars. Say pillars. The gift of righteousness and the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. So without those two gifts, it's impossible, say impossible, to live an abundant life on this earth as a Christian. All right? Here's what else you need to understand. An abundant life, first and foremost, begins as a spiritual blessing on the inside. Say on the inside. Oh, come on. The natural realm around you, here's what you got to understand. The natural realm around you in your life, all right? The things that you can control, because there's some things we can't control, how other people act. Or you following me? I'm talking about what we create around us in our life, okay? The natural realm around you in your life is simply, don't ever forget this, it's a reflection of what's taking place on the inside of you. Someone said it this way before, I like, as within, so without. Say that with me. Say, as within, so without. If your outer world is a chaotic mess, it's because your inner world is a chaotic mess and you're out of God's divine order. Very simple. The outside in your life, what you create, the havoc, the chaos, all these things that you create, it's a reflection of what's really taking place on the inside of you. Amen? Without the gift of righteousness and the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, it's impossible to live the abundant life according to the definition of an abundant life. Listen to this. Righteousness qualifies you for an abundant life, and the Holy Spirit guides you to walk in it. Oh, come on, somebody. Your righteous standing through faith in Christ qualifies you for it. That's why you got Christians. They love the Lord. They love the Lord, right? They're qualified. They've been made righteous, but their life is a mess still. There's just total lack in every area of their life. They're totally not walking in the will of God. Why? Because they're not listening. Come on. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them to experience. Are you following me? To experience what they've been qualified for. Think about that. Amen? Say qualified for. Man, there's something about that. That's why I said earlier, an abundant life is not just wealth or earthly riches. Because, again, let me remind you, an unsaved person, the world, the ones that are on a one-way road to hell without Jesus right now, they have all that stuff. They have a full bank account. They have are you following me? They have all the worldly things. Again, so it must be different. It must be different from something that they don't have that we can have in Christ, all right? Remember, again, however, say however, I said that God is not opposed to Christians having an abundance of wealth and earthly stuff. He just doesn't want that stuff being an idol in your life. Amen? There's a verse in the Bible, it literally says that God says, I will turn your blessings into a curse because you've forgotten the Lord your God. Come on, amen? So God wants to bless you with things for one reason and one reason only. Are you ready for this? To be a blessing to others and advance the kingdom of God. All right? That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his what? Interesting. Righteousness. Amen? And that literally means God's way of doing things. It means you're going to live holy. You're living above the worldly standards of what the world says. Amen? And seek his righteousness. And then it says, all these things, all of your needs, up and beyond, will be added unto you. That's pretty good, isn't it? So I needed to lay the foundation that it starts on the inside first. We don't seek the outside stuff. Seek the inside first and make sure your heart's right with God first. And get ready. Now we're opening a can of blessings. Amen? If you seek first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things, if you seek it first, listen to this. Are you ready? What's the importance of seeking first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things? Here's the importance. If you will do that first, that means you're starting off right, and all your desires after that are going to line up with that principle. And you're opening a can of blessing in your life. We got to shift it. We got to shift our mind. We got to shift our mind to a mindset of abundance. Say abundance. The Word of God says in Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. God's not against you being rich. Amen. In fact, he would rather you have it with a pure heart that's going to advance his kingdom than Playboy Corporation. Hello, somebody. Amen. He would rather you be flying around in the jets if we're his kingdom. Are you following me? I had to use that one. Amen. Why should all the sinners, all those hell-bent going to hell, use all those things? Amen. Everything we have should be used to advance the kingdom of God. But it says this, in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. That's the real blessing. He doesn't add sorrow to it. What's the difference between the unsaved and the world? What, we can all have riches. With the Christian, if your heart's right, there's no sorrow added onto it. Amen? You got to shift your minds. If there's someone in here, if you've been living a life of lack, if you've been living in a life of poverty, I'm telling you right now, that is not the will of God. Oh, you're a prosperity preacher. Yeah, Jesus was too. I'm in good company. Amen? Nobody can ever talk me into that. God doesn't want you to have your needs met and then some. Amen? Wouldn't you rather be the person that's out and about in Walmart or walking around and you have a pocket full of hundreds that you can just bless people with? Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. It, rather than sowing it into a godless world, we got to shift our mindset on this whole thing. But again, let me caution you, make sure your heart is right with God. Amen. Now, so because your heart is connected to the heart of God, you're not putting your love and affection on things, but rather on your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Amen? And that will protect your heart and life from the negative things that are connected to the curse. Amen? Now, listen to this. So the Greek word that's translated abundant in John 10:10, it's defined as this, defined as more, greater, exceedingly, I personally like the next one, overflow. He wants your cup to overflow. Amen? But here's the thing. God cares more about your character than your bank account. Hello, somebody. He cares whether or not, he cares more about you going to heaven when you pass away from this earth. But if those two can match up, come on, somebody. If those two, you have the right heart and you are putting the principles of God into action, he will bless you with stuff if you'll use it for his glory. Amen? So it's used, listen to this, abundant. It's used to describe something that is beyond the usual or an expected measure. I like that. It conveys the idea of abundance, excess, or something that is extraordinary in quantity and quality. In the New Testament, it often refers to the abundant life that Jesus offers, of course, the overflowing grace of God, or the surpassing righteousness expected of believers. God wants us to live in the overflow. Come on, say that with me, overflow. Say, I am going to have a mindset of abundance. From now on, I'm tired of seeing what the devil's doing to Christians. Amen. You don't have to take a vow of poverty. Just get your heart right with God. Just get your heart right with God. Amen. So here's what you need to know and understand as a Christian. The abundant, the excessive, the overflow of life that is taking place on the inside of you, listen to me, will manifest blessings on the outside of you in your outer world, in the natural realm. See, we need to have and maintain a mindset, again, of abundance. Say abundance. We gotta have it. Man, for sure, the Holy Spirit has just been putting that in my spirit. In fact, when I'm walking around, even at home and praying and stuff, I'll say, I have an abundance. I have everything that I need to fulfill my mission, to fulfill my purpose, my ministry. I have it. I have it to an overflow. I am walking in abundance. You need to do that. You need to speak this thing. Amen? You need to, you gotta preach to yourself. As David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what that's talking about? He preached to himself. Start confessing it. Well, I don't believe it. Isn't it a lie? No, preach to yourself so you do believe it. Preach it to yourself until you believe it. Amen? The Holy Spirit, listen to this. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me as I was writing this. He said, if a believer isn't manifesting blessings in their outer world in the natural realm, they're not taking advantage of the abundant life on the inside of them and not activating spiritual laws in their favor. Come on, somebody. Amen. Again, God's not against you having stuff. He's against stuff having you. So get that corrected. Make sure your heart's right. Amen. God, I'm going to say something this. Listen to this. Ready? Let's just say it like this. Ready? Let's break this spirit of poverty over Tuscola. You ready for this? Listen to me. God desires his people to be healthy and wealthy. Come on, somebody. He desires his people to be healthy and wealthy. I didn't say everyone was going to be a millionaire. What I'm saying is that he has made the provision and has given us knowledge in the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit to manifest more than enough, an overflow, an abundance is our portion as Christians so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen? How about this? God desires his people to be the lender and not the borrower. Come on. Let's get our thinking straight here. We got to break this spirit of poverty. And by the way, a poverty mindset goes beyond financial. A poverty mindset says, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Are you following me? It all begins on the inside. It begins where you see your identity. Are you seeing your identity clearly with what the Word says about you? Or is it your own mindset? God desires his people to be the lender and not the borrower. Our Heavenly Father desires his children, come on, to be the head and not the tail, above and not believe. That's scripture. That isn't James talking. That's scripture. You need to start confessing that. Speak it. Amen? Speak it till you believe it. See, we were created to receive an abundance of blessing in every area of our life. Not just to get by, but to be able to be a blessing to other people. Listen to this verse. This is interesting. Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God has given us power or an ability to get wealth. Why? He answers the question. Are you ready for this? To establish his covenant with you. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm just telling you. If we can shift this, it will change your life. Amen. Again, God has given us power or an ability to get wealth to establish his covenant. So here's what we got to understand and ask ourselves. Are you ready for this? Are we using that ability to our full potential as Christians? Listen to this. This is why laziness will manifest poverty and lack. Because here's what people don't understand. They think that they can just speak that verse and everything's just gonna appear out of the sky. No, it says that he's given us power or the ability to get wealth. All right? So it's not automatic. In other words, you gotta do something to go after it. He gives you the ability. Now go do something with it. Are you following me? So the word power in that verse is talking about our ability. Listen to this. Oh, you got to, if you do a word study on that power to get wealth, all right? Listen to this. The word power in that verse is talking about our ability, but it breaks it down more than that. Are you ready for this? Our spiritual and mental power or ability to get wealth. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in this little church here. Oh, I know. Hey, listen, I'm coming against the devil in this spirit of poverty stuff. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Amen. I want my people to be blessed here. I want God's people to be blessed. Amen. So here's what this is telling us then. If it's a spiritual power and in mental power to get wealth, it begins then, you could say it this way, it begins with a mindset of abundance in connection to our covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Say covenant. Does anybody in here, would you love to see your children suffer lack? Would anybody love to see their children in poverty? Why do we think God does take pleasure in that? You got to remember, here's what you got to understand. You got to take it back to the Garden of Eden. God gave and provided everything. Are you following me? Everything. There is absolutely no excuse for a child of the living God to live in lack of needful things on this earth. I'm telling you right now. But what God's telling us, we need to shift our mindset of lack to a mindset of wealth. I'm not just talking about stuff. Remember, the wealth, the abundance starts in here, your relationship with God. Don't misquote me. Amen? Is your mindset from lack to wealth or abundance in your walk with God? All it takes, ready for this, is for a Christian to get serious in their relationship with God, serious in their commitment to study the Word of God, to learn the principles of prosperity in the Word of God. Are you following me? It takes you to have a dynamic, intimate connection with the Lord, to have a dynamic prayer life. Are you noticing something? Laziness will never accomplish that. I remember years ago I was ministering to someone. This individual was having a hard time. And I could tell there was definitely some laziness there. You know, this person was crying about having lack and all that. And I said, well, what's your aspirations? What do you want? What do you desire? And I'll never forget the words that he said. I'd rather just lay around and smoke pot. Well, guess what? Enjoy your poverty, pal. Enjoy lack. Enjoy poverty. Amen. No, you got to do some things. You got to, the word works, but you got to work the word. God gives us principles to get that well. Amen. Again, he gives us the ability, the power to get it. Amen. The key phrase, ready? Get it. If you look at, even just in the secular realm, you look at people who are very wealthy and stuff, listen to me, they're not lazy people. They have habits. They have their same habits and dedication. I mean, they're very meticulous on their schedule of doing things that are profitable. Are you following me? But here, I'll get into more of that in a minute here. So there must be action involved. Again, to get wealth, to get. It's not just going to come to you. Amen? The abundant life begins. Let me remind you again. Take it right back. The abundant life begins on the inside of you before it can manifest on the outside of you. If you want the blessing of God. If you want that wealth without sorrow added to it. Amen? The unbeliever, listen to now, I just mentioned about people in the world, right? That their schedules and stuff. Here's what I was trying to say. The unbeliever and the New Age people have it totally backwards. Because here's what, they have a level of success. I mean, you got people, right? I mean, there's people that are unsaved that, man, they're walking in this process. Well, I mean, money and stuff, basically, right? But here's the deal. They have it backwards. They are, here's what they're doing, though. Are you ready? They are activating spiritual laws without a relationship with Jesus Christ. So they're using the wrong door, but they're experiencing a level of success. Want to know why? If you'll watch any of these self-help people, or the New Agers, let me just, don't do it, but let me just tell you what they're doing. Ready for this? Here's what they're doing. You will find out everything they're doing is a spiritual law in the Word of God. Why? Because God created spiritual laws. There's nothing new under the sun. They're activating a spiritual law, but listen to me, through the wrong door. Jesus Christ is the only door that we're to walk through. So they will experience that level of success just because of the positive thinking, the positive spoken confessions or spoken words, the confidence that they have in what they're doing and their desire for success. Are you following me? But these are biblical principles. But at the end of the day, they're still not satisfied because they're missing one major piece of the spiritual puzzle, and that's a relationship with their Creator through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you have these billionaires can do whatever they want, all the money in the world, that are committing suicide. Why? Because they have the wealth and the riches, but there's sorrow attached to it because they're doing it outside of Christ. Are you getting this? They're doing it outside of the gift of righteousness through Jesus. They're doing it outside of the gift of the Holy Spirit and intimacy with their Creator. So how much more can we walk in that blessing with our covenant with God? I'm trying to motivate you today. Is it working? If your neighbor's sleeping, bump them right now. Come on, I'm almost done. See, oh, wow, lots of bumping going on here, I guess. And you watching, bump that person next to you who's sleeping, okay? Might as well include them with it. So listen, they're gaining riches, they're gaining wealth, earthly things, but there's the curse attached to it because it's acquired, ready? With covetousness and greed, which we're forbidden to have. It's, again, the wrong door. They worship the money. It's what the Bible calls the pride of life. Say pride of life. What's the pride of life? It means that you root your identity in the stuff that you have. That's a sin. The Bible says that's a sin, and that's what they're doing. They worship the money, all right? They're accessing that wrong door, like I said. So if you want to build wealth and prosperity, come on, God's way. Anybody in here want to build wealth and prosperity God's way? Yes. Amen. It starts at the heart level of putting God first. And when you put Him first, He will guide all the other desires, and it will help you to live a holy life. Listen, I like to say it this way. It'll help you live a life of integrity in the midst of the wealth. Amen? All right, here we go. One of the major spiritual laws that will release prosperity in your life is being a giver in every aspect of your life, not just financially. See, I made this comment on Facebook this week, this post, and it said this: it is impossible to walk in love and not be a giver. It's impossible to walk in love and not be a giver, okay? Our Heavenly Father, by the way, is a liberal giver, according to the book of James. And if we're going to take after our Heavenly Father, we need to be a giver like our Father. Amen? If you desire to live an abundant life on this earth, you must learn to be a giver. There's no other way around it. Jesus said these words. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that something? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this today? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. He said, But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves, underline it, a cheerful giver. And God is, oh, I like this, and God is able, say able, to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency of all things may have, underline it, abundance for every good work. Not your own fleshly work, good work for the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, the word of God makes it very clear, that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Now, the Greek word, listen to this. The Greek word translated sparingly. You want to know what that means? You ready for this? It literally means to be stingy or ungenerous. Right? When I seen that, all I could think about is a little kid, you know, where the mom and dad said, give your friend a piece of candy. They're like, no. No, that's how we are with our finances many times, with wanting to bless people. Think about it. Amen? It means to be stingy, and stingy means to be ungenerous. It says to give as you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly, not of necessity. It says that if you give that way, it says basically God's saying don't be manipulated to give. Have the right heart motive that you want to be a blessing. You want to be a blessing to the poor. You want to be a blessing to those around you. You want to be a blessing to your local church and the kingdom of God. Amen? So here's the thing, though. Basically this, you could say in a nutshell, God doesn't want you to give with a negative attitude. Now, it says that God loves a cheerful giver. And then it goes on to say that God will make all grace or favor abound toward you so that you will have all sufficiency for all things and abundance for every good work. In other words, if you will give cheerfully from a cheerful heart, the right attitude, God will not only provide your needs, but he will fund, say fund. He will fund every good work that you do that will be a blessing to the kingdom of God. You know what it means? I like to say it this way. You'll be on God's payroll. See, some of you are counting too much on your employer's payroll. That's your problem. Your employer is not your provider. Your heavenly Father is. The government's not your provider. Come on, somebody. Your heavenly Father is. The Greek word translated cheerful in that verse is defined as this, as joyful and not grudgingly. It implies a heart that freely gives without holding back, all right? You can say it this way. It's bent toward giving. Your heart's bent toward giving. It's generous, amen? It implies a mindset of giving. That person truly understands the law, the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Now, here's one that's going to mess with your natural mind. Are you ready for this? Now, don't do this. Pray about it and let God deal with you on it. Here's the deal. Sometimes, someone who's having financial problems, you have tons of debt in your life, right? Don't raise your hands, whoever you are. But here's what the world won't tell you, but God does. Give your way out of debt. Oh, come on, somebody. In fact, you're probably in debt because you're not given to the kingdom of God like you should. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, think about that. Now, that's what the world will never tell you. Hold on to it. Be grudging with it. Don't be generous with it. Surely don't be a cheerful giver with it. Hold on to it. Save it. When God say, now, it might not be you. You pray and seek the Lord on how he wants you to handle your finances. Amen? But there may be some where he says, you need to give your way out of that debt. Why? I'm telling you, a person's heart is connected to their money. Jesus knew that. Are you following me? Jesus knew that. Money is connected. Why? Because it's connected to the pride of life. The flesh loves the pride of life. Amen? Wow, it is getting really quiet in here. It's kind of creepy right now. Now listen to this. The Greek word for cheerful is where we get our English word. Are you ready for this? If you look up the Greek word that's used for cheerful, are you ready? It's where we get our English word hilarious. It's hilarious. Pastor James was hilarious, right? It means there's no holding back. He's cheerful. Amen. So giving hilariously, what's so important about that? It's an act of faith, knowing that God will provide for your needs and he will make all grace and favor abound toward you. Giving is all an act of faith. It comes down to this. If you're not giving and you're afraid to give because blah, 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 you have a faith problem in what God's word says. Now, I'm not trying to manipulate you to give to the church. I'm just giving you a principle in the word of God. Amen, that's all. I wouldn't be doing my job as a pastor if I didn't share that with you. The unsaved, the world is stingy and greedy. Has anybody figured that out yet? You don't believe me? Try going to your employer in the secular world and asking for a raise. Hello. I remember at one job that I had, since I had a raise, and I went and asked for one, and it took like a few months even after that, and I still had to chase him down in his office. And it's a company that was making money hand over fist. Are you following me? Listen, you employers in the secular realm, make sure you're treating your people good and right. Amen? Christians are supposed to act different. Are you following me? Christians are supposed to act different. The world and carnal Christians cannot comprehend the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, all right? Because it takes faith and trust in God to operate in it, all right? The unsaved, they're spiritually dead, all right? There's no connection with their Heavenly Father, so the only thing they're led by is the flesh and demons. Are you following me? Christians ought not to act like that. So living an abundant life is not about, listen, okay, write this down if you're taking notes. Living an abundant life is not about receiving only. It's primarily about giving. Living an abundant life is not about receiving only. It's primarily about giving. And then the Holy Spirit said this, and out of that giving, you will receive blessings. Why? Because you're activating a spiritual law of giving. Amen? The very first giving that we do when we get born again is that we give our entire life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you're supposed to. Are you following me? That's the very first act of giving. Giving everything. Giving him your whole heart. Again, Jesus told us it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's not just talking about finances. We got to go, the whole wealth thing, the whole abundance thing, it's up and beyond finances. It includes it. It's a benefit, but it's up and beyond that. Amen? The most joyful Christians that I know are cheerful givers. They're givers of their time, givers of their finances, givers that will advance the kingdom of God. Amen? You got a depression problem? Give your way out of it. Give your time to help someone. Amen? Do something. Say, do something. So we are in covenant with God through faith in Jesus Christ. A covenant is a two-way street. It's an agreement between two parties. Amen? I'm almost done. Stick with me. When we do our part, God will do his part. Both parties have a part to do in that covenant. So now we know that God will never skip out on his part. You agree with that? So then who's the missing link if that covenant's going to stay connected? Us. Amen. We got to start activating the word. We got to stay close to him. Amen. We know God will always do his part. All right. Now, an abundant life is filled with peace and joy on the inside of us. Go with me real quick to John 14. John 14, 25. We're starting this new year off right. Amen. John 14, 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, all things that I have said to you. Peace, here it is, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus gives us that peace, and it's not like the world gives. You know what? How many of you know there's something powerful about having peace on the inside? No matter what's going on around you, there's that peace on the inside of you. No matter what's going on around you, you must willingly, though, receive that peace. You need to take advantage of that peace, right? Just like I said, Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost, but guess what? You got to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is our helper in this life. He will teach us all things and bring the Word of God to our remembrance where when we need it and what to use it for. What an amazing, listen to me, what an amazing supernatural advantage we have with the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's also part of the abundant life Jesus is talking about. The Holy Spirit. We need to take advantage of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, I want you to stick this in your memory bank and don't forget it. Every blessing that Jesus accomplished for us, everything he did for us, is meant to bring us back to that Garden of Eden experience. Amen? John 17:3 says, eternal life is knowing the true God, our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the starting point for the abundant life, knowing him. And then in John chapter 15, 5 through 8, Jesus is the vine. In verse 1 of John 15, he calls himself the true vine. If he's the true vine, what does that mean? It means there's other false vines that we can connect to that have no life in it. Jesus is the only vine that gives us true life. Amen? All right, now, real quick here. I want to finish this message just real quick by saying about John 10:10, where it says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, right? You know that well, right? Now, remember how I talked about how the abundant life starts on the inside and then it works its way outside, right? Listen to me. I'm going to give you a key to how the enemy will come against you and what he's really trying to do. The Holy Spirit made it very clear to me in the study. The steal, kill, and destroy is from the enemy. It's a battle that's taken place on the inside of you so he can alter your life around you. Steal, kill, and destroy is taking, he wants to do that on the inside of you. Amen? In other words, the enemy is feeding you lies. He's feeding you deception in your thought life. So you will take the bait, and then it gives the enemy access not only to your inner world, now it starts to work its way out to your outer world in the natural realm. Don't let him do it. Job said these words. You ready for this? This is a scripture that not many people talk about. Job said this. We all know what Job happened to Job, right? It says, that what I feared the most has come upon me. Obviously, Job had some kind of a fear issue going on. He let the enemy get on the inside and affected the outside, the outer world. Are you following me? Oh, come on, somebody. So that's why your mind or your soul is the battlefield. Don't let the enemy in. Don't give him that place. Amen? If you want to change your life, change your focus, change your mindset, change your thoughts. Because nothing happens, action or spoken, without it going through your thought life first. It's all about your thought life. So the most important thing you can do as a Christian, the most important thing you can do is do the maintenance on and guard your heart and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. You need to guard what you think, say, and do. Amen? Church, it's time that we have and maintain a mindset of abundance. It's time that we start living the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. You agree? So let's draw closer to our Heavenly Father than ever before, and let's take advantage of His favor and grace in our lives. Let's stand up in this place. And prayer team, come on down. Hallelujah. Maybe there's someone in here. I know that was a long one. That was a long one. But my goodness, what a word we need to hear. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Don't leave here without doing it, because you frankly don't know when you're going to take your last breath on this earth. You just don't. I wish I could say, yeah, you're going to live till you're 70, 80, 90. You don't know. You don't know. If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to come down right now and pray with one of our prayer team members. Make him Lord of your life. Now, if you're in this place and this message really impacted you, and you're like, I have not been living the abundant life. I have not been taking advantage of everything that God has for me, but today I want to. If that's you, before you leave today, just come down and let them pray over you, okay? And just rededicate. Press back in. It's a new year. Amen? If you want to receive the Holy Ghost baptism, come on down. They'll talk to you about that experience and lead you through it. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Again, we are all of our activities are flowing again at Living Waters Chapel for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed the last 2 weeks of a break. But guess what? It's time to get back to work for the kingdom. Amen? All right, I love you all. Have a great week. Come on back. Visitors, it was great to see you. Come on back. You know the second time you come back, you're family. So, all right, love you all.